Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Welcome back to those of you who are on holiday. I hope you studied if you were supposed to study. Anybody that did not study and you were supposed to study? Okay. That's now when everybody wants to quote, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Amen? So we're going to pray for you for a lot of grace. I want us to jump to Mark chapter 5 verse 25. And sure, it is just so amazing. The Lord said to me that exactly what James was quoting now. Do you know, you cannot fabricate the presence of God. You cannot fabricate the presence of God. You can sing a lot of songs. You can jump up. You can pretend. But you cannot fabricate the presence of God, the real presence of God. And even today in this Western world that we're living, we're trying sometimes by smoke screens, or we're trying to with lights and all of that stuff, but nothing can bring in the presence of God. It's only a yielded heart. It's only yielded hearts that draw close to God. It's only yielded hearts. And at the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity, and I'm going to do that myself, to yield our hearts to God. Because we've almost, in a sense, lost it because we are so distracted with a lot of things in our lives. So I want to jump into this story in Mark chapter 5. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I might touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, say immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. It's a beautiful story of the crowds pressing against Jesus, and Jesus is on the way. Do you know, Jesus was so attractive. He was so accessible. Many times they had to hide away or just go up the mountain to speak to his father because people just love Jesus. When Christ is in us, we attract people to Christ. we don't push them off, or we don't. They feel welcome if Christ begins to manifest through your life. And so here, Jesus is walking, he's going on his way, he's on his way to a specific place. And as lots of people are thronging, the word says, you know, so they are really pressing. They just want to be around him. This woman comes and she runs up to Jesus. And the most amazing thing, I actually like the old King James, says that he talks about the fact that she actually went on her knees. But if you know a bit of the culture in Leviticus, it says that if a woman had the flow of blood, especially like this woman, if you wanted to go out in public, you had to cry out a couple of times. You had to say, unclean, 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 I'm unclean, don't touch me. You had to scream that all the way if you wanted to walk in public. And so it was a very shameful thing. So most women like this would stay somewhere, hide away, just not go into public. And so this woman was going out and she did not cry that. Leviticus actually says, according to the law, that if you did that and somebody touched you or you touched somebody, then that person was unclean for a couple of days, and that person had to go and wash them for a couple of days. And even if some people or the Pharisees, some of them would catch you, even it would mean death or punishment of death. So it was a really tense thing, this uncleanness and this shame that this woman was carrying. But here we see this picture that she's actually risking her life. And that's why by the time Jesus heals her, she's afraid and she's trembling. And she knows what has happened to her because actually now they found out. And actually now she comes out with the truth. And so this is now a life or death situation. So this woman, it wasn't just an ordinary story. She risked everything by not crying out, unclean, unclean. And she comes to Jesus and she realizes, but if only I could touch the hem of his garment. Now the hem of his garment was a very specific thing. It was every rabbi like Jesus wore this long garment, and at the bottom were these little tassels that represented the word of God, and that is where she touched. So she touched the truth, the word of God. That's what she came for. And she risked everything to get there. So it's not just the ordinary story of this woman coming past and say, hey, give me a high five, Jesus. You know, lekker, lekker, let's go on with our lives. But we see this moment when she touches him, Jesus stops. And that's why I love the old King James. The old King James says, not healing, but virtue. Virtue flowed out of him. Virtue. You see, you can come to Christ and get healed and delivered, but it doesn't mean that you get virtue. And so you can almost sort of ignore the whole story because she was healed immediately of her physical affliction. And yet at the end of the story, go there to verse 34, and he said to her, now she's already healed physically, and now listen to what Jesus says to her at the end of the story. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So she received much more than just a physical healing. Jesus broke the shame. Jesus broke the curse. Jesus broke all the stuff over her life because he could give her virtue. So see, when we worship like we did tonight, or when you come in your quiet time, you must realize that there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of crowd. There's a lot of stuff even in your head tonight that would keep you away from going for Christ. But when you come to Christ, you must come to Christ in a specific way. There's a risk. And that risk is to lose your life. God doesn't understand any other way. That's why he came. He came to give his life. And so he says, if you want to come to me, you need to deny yourself. So I'm gonna talk about this little thing called holiness, this word called holiness tonight. Because many people want to be holy. They're trying all of their life to be holy. But unless you've come to Christ in this way, you can't be holy. Because holiness means to have a different standard or a way of living, or to be separate, to have virtue in your life. So coming to God, sometimes like we, especially in the Western culture, we're very performance-based. So we come to God because we try to fix ourselves, you know. We come to God because, hey, we want to be the best and we want to accomplish stuff. So we want to sort out our lives and then come to Christ and says, okay, God, give me life. But it actually works the other way around. If you want holiness in your life, you first need to learn to be separate. You need to learn to withdraw. It's just a place in your spirit. It's just a place of holiness to come to him, to realize that I'm going to be different. And I was thinking this week, and it's actually amazing that for many of us, and especially in the charismatic church, do you know what? That we've walked away from holiness. we've walked away from the things that are really, really important, like the presence of God. Because we'll many times be involved with so many stuff around God, but except then pressing through the crowd and say, God, today I need virtue. Today I need holiness. And holiness isn't like, go up the mountain and ching chong chai, how many days you're going to fast, you know, 3, 5, 7, 9, 12. It's not that the holiness only flows out of a place of that touch of Christ. The holiness only comes from a place where you realize you're different, not because you're better, not because you're greater, not because whatever. It's just simply because you've seen Christ. You've come to that place of say, God, I'm willing to risk everything to have that virtue of life. Because outside of you, I don't have life. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm today. Okay, I'm just. So So I'm gonna throw a couple of big words on there. If you want to write it down quickly, you need to write it down very quickly. Don't show my face. Show those words. Okay. Cameraman there at the back. This is a couple of big words. So write it down. Try to figure out what it means. If you don't know, come to Bible school and you'll find out what it means. Okay. I'm going to focus a little bit on one or two of them. The nature of holiness is transformation through consecration and sanctification. The nature of holiness means there's a transformed life. We're going to talk about that now, that one specifically. So we'll come back to that one. It's a transformed life. A transformed life that happens through somebody that has learned to consecrate themselves to God. And somebody that knows this process called sanctification. Okay, now, sanctification, in most churches today, you won't even hear that word anymore because we want to talk about grace and we want to talk about love, but we don't want to talk about sanctification. Now, you cannot have life and virtue without living a sanctified life. Salvation starts born again, give your life to Christ. But very few people actually commit their lives to a process of transformation, a process of sanctification. A process of consecration. And that's why as a Christian, and if you want to live in the fullness of God, to not just have the virtue of God in your life, but through your life, you need to live a consecrated life. The second thing is that the framework of holiness is justification. Okay, justification just simply means what Christ has done on the cross. He says, although you're guilty, I declare you not guilty. It's a law term, okay? Like a court. You have a court and God says, hey, although you are guilty, I declare you to be not guilty. And it's only through Christ that we can stand before God. It's called justification. The just shall live by faith. Okay? So for some of you, you're already like, it's out there somewhere. Okay? I don't know if you've ever tried to catch fish. You know, and now you're with all these experts and you put everything on the hook and you throw it, but you realize you didn't make the hooks, you know, strong enough onto the little rod thing, and then you throw and then everything goes like your hook, line and sinker, but it just keeps on carrying on. Okay, that's just what happened to some of you. It just went over you. That's got nothing to do with nothing. But in any case, okay, I'm just giving people time to write down. The foundation of holiness. Okay, so what do we build this life on? It's not built on your performance or my performance, but the foundation of holiness is this co-laboring with Christ. The fact that the Bible uses these terms and says, hey, I'm crucified with Christ. I've risen with Christ. I'm seated with Christ. It's an amazing thing when you understand that as God says, be holy as I am holy, it's not that you must run around and try to be. It's just simply you must learn to enter into what Christ has done, and it's a co-laboring. It's connecting with Him. So that's the foundation. We cannot say, hey, live a holy life because you're trying to be good. We cannot say, hey, the foundation is because of your good family or your good nature or my good performance or anything like that. The only foundation is where you learn to be a son of God, meaning that what Christ has died for, He's made provision for you. And that is what we build our holiness on. Are you with me? Oh, thank you. It's getting very, very quiet. Everybody finished writing? Okay. Let's just move right along. Okay. The fourth thing, the agent of holiness is the Holy Spirit. The agent, the one who helps us to live a sanctified life, is you cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. So maybe you've, like me, grown up in a church where people tell you every week in, week out, do the Ten Commandments, do this, do that, don't do that, do this, do that. That is always going to work for a while, but it's a bit of fear motivation, and it also makes you live out of the flesh, but you don't realize that God has actually given you a helper, the agent, the one who sort of introduces you to this lifestyle is the Holy Spirit. Just keep that stuff on there, okay? The agent of holiness is the Holy Spirit. The fifth thing, and this is just part of the introduction, so just hold on to me, okay? Hold on. I'm just throwing some stuff out. If it's going over your head, just relax. The experience of holiness always means there's conflict, there's confrontation. Something must go so that I can get a hold of something else. You cannot have holiness without conflict. Some people call it conviction. It's that when I want to do this thing and I let go of that thing of the world and I say yes to what God has because I realize it's virtue, it's life. And you know what? You make choices like that every day to be holy. You say, God, I need to let go of the opinion of man or the pressure of my friends. There's so much stuff down there that I need to let go of to grab hold of what you have. I always use the story of my little daughter. One day she came running with these pair of glasses. She was like 2 years old, came with, Daddy, Daddy, look what I found. And I said, oh, great. But then the problem was this arm was already bent like to that side, you know, was bent over. And I realized that if I grab hold of this now, it's going to break. We're going to have a tussle and it's going to break in five pieces. Because especially that daughter had a bit of a strong will at just at that stage. It comes back when they're teenagers. Hallelujah. And some just keep on going, yeah. But in any case, so what I did is I had a sweetie and I said to her, look at the sweetie. Yeah. Give me that, I give you this. Yeah. Give me this. Yeah. Give me that. And then she looked up and she saw and she went, wow. And she gave me that. And then I put that in my pocket. I said, you never walk. No, I didn't. Okay, bad. Okay. But it's, you know, it's this place of exchange that you realize what you have in your hand, you're going to break everything. You and I, do you know what? We destruct everything. We break everything. Don't think you're so good. Don't think I'm so good. We're not. And that's where the conflict comes. There's a daily conflict of holiness. The rule of holiness, meaning the sort of athletics line we run in, is the law of God, meaning that God says, hey, don't murder, don't kill, because that's going to kill your conscience. So there are some certain rules that we submit to. And then the heart of holiness is that of love. Okay, that was just part of the introduction. Shake your neighbor and say, hey, we're going to pick up some speed now. So there are three things I want to focus on quickly. So if we want to live this daily life of consecration, if we want to say, God, I want virtue in my life and I want that same virtue to flow over to the people around me. Because more than ever, people in this world are looking for the real Jesus. And it's only you that can give either a fake Jesus or a real Jesus to the world. And it's very sad that many Christians, even Christians in this town, are walking away from the Word of God. I saw this one poster, how to be happy. And I'm thinking like, okay, maybe that is attractive to unsaved people, but God does not call us to a life of happiness. He calls us to a life of holiness. He does not call you. And if maybe you're sitting in the church and you get offended every week, do you know what? Then you're in a good church. Because our whole culture versus the biblical culture will offend you. I get offended by the stuff I preach sometimes. I think, God, why do you let me preach this? Then he says, it's my word. Are you going to preach it or not? And I think, like, God, why does that person around the block get away with that? Because they're just like, grace, 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 life, love, 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 you know? And then it sounds like a somewhat Italian, and I think like, you know? And then you look like, and then God says, if you want my presence, preach my word. You see, because like with this lady running to Jesus, she risked everything. There was no option. It wasn't just another thing she's doing. She realized that when she steps out to meet with Christ, either Christ is the real deal or he's fake and she will die. So I love it when Jesus comes onto the scene of your life and my life. So the first thing that happens is Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. We need to, if you want to become holy, where does the change happen first? Yeah, it's a truth encounter. It means you need to renew your mind. Because the way we think about Christ, what we think about God and who He is, will determine how you will act when you stand before Him. And that's why, you know, that Scripture, somebody wrote it, says, you know, I think it was Pierre that brought that Scripture tonight. It says, like in the days of Noah. So thank you, Pierre, for bringing that, because it's a confirmation of what we're saying tonight. God says, I want you to come. I want you to come closer. But I see everything out there as like in the days of Noah. Everybody just is doing what is right in their own eyes. But when God invites you, and it's like He opens Himself up for you to come so close to get that virtue. But it means that you need to think differently, firstly about who God is, and secondly about who you are when you stand before Him. So we need to, that's why you need to have Scripture in your life. That's why you need to get the Word into your life, and not like a nice coaching, fix yourself, like feel better about yourself. Because that's not what the Word of God does. The Word of God is like a brush, like a steel brush that comes into your life and goes like, and all the rust goes off. Nobody says amen, okay? But it says we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ starts by having a love for the Word of God. You know, even deliverance in your life, deliverance from demonic spirits and things like that cannot happen before you've had a truth encounter. That's what John 8 verse 31 and 32 says, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So right there, that's where the devil comes in, because the devil is the father of lies. So tomorrow morning when you wake up and you think like, yeah, that was a great experience last night. We worshiped together. We had such a good time in the presence of God. And tomorrow morning when you wake up and you walk into that class, the devil throws all of his lies at you. He says, that was fake. That wasn't real. The presence of God isn't really with you. You're not really a child of God. Remember what you did last week. The whole week, and you didn't do one quiet time in the whole week of the holiday. You vegged, you watched series, you just, the spirit of debate to control over you, everything just, you went to another planet. So how can you now worship God, and how can you now testify? How can you say God is good because it's really about your performance and you didn't perform very well? You got a -3 out of 50. That's how the devil talks. Then he accuses because he brings lies. And the moment when there's lies, there cannot be truth. And so he bombards you with lies. And that's why even tonight, there's some of you sitting here, you feel so spiritually inferior. You feel God will never use you. You feel you're not good enough. Why? Because you've believed those lies. And it's not you thinking, it's the devil planting them there. And that's why you need a renewing of your mind. You need to stand under the word of God and say, God, I thank you that what the devil says is a lie, but what you say is the truth. So release your truth over my life. Say, we have the mind of Christ. Okay. The second thing, and I preached on this whole thing like 2 weeks ago in the morning, but was it last week or was it the week before? I can't even remember. Time flies when you're having fun. Amen. So, but the Bible invites you when it comes to God. Now that you're starting in this process, Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 talks about it. It says, I really ask you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, wholly acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service. And therefore, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can test what God's will is, that which is good, pleasant, and perfect. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. And it's beautiful words. There's actually these long words in the original language, but the conformed simply means where we get our word scheme from, schema. The Bible says, don't conform. It's not an outward thing. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, because there are certain patterns that this world tries to enforce on you. Patterns of like what? Fear. Shame. And so when you fall into those patterns, it's almost like you're going off in a foofy slide and you do, and then the slide makes you drop you somewhere down there. And you feel like you've went through a foofy slide. You've just foofied or something, I don't know. Okay, but you feel like, why? Because you've jumped into this pattern and this pattern is going to throw you out on the other side. And you don't realize, but there's patterns forming to try and define you. And the picture, it's a beautiful picture. As I was praying through this, the Lord gave me a picture. He says, it's like a chameleon. You're just like a chameleon. You go out and you adapt to your environment. You take on the color of your environment because you're trying to hide. And God says, if you come to me, you must be transformed. So whenever God deals with you, whenever he talks about holiness, it's something that happens in your heart. It's called, we get the word metamorphosis from, a change of form. I learned what the Afrikaans says. It's such a beautiful word. Gedaante verwisseling. For the English people, gedaante verwisseling. Okay? That's like German. Metamorphosis, okay? So what happens to that cocoon, that butterfly, that worm? It actually has a change of nature. It has a change from the inside out. The world tries to make you to change from the outside in. And I used the example a couple of weeks ago, you know, that even in the church, in the charismatic church, you know, I read the other day that if you go to a big American church and you apply to be a pastor in that place, do you know what happens? Part of the package they give you, of the salary package, is you get at least one facelift every 3 years. If you don't know what a facelift is, it makes you like speak like Chinese. They lift everything that has come down a little bit. Okay? And I was thinking, like, this is so crazy. Why? Because that conformity has crept into the church. Conform on the outside. Change yourself on the outside, and then maybe there'll be change on the inside. And God says, no, I want to change you from the inside out. Because it's not what you wear, it's not what you drive, it's not where you've been, it's not who you know. It's nothing on the outside that will ever change you. When you come to be transformed, it's the most amazing thing. It's called sanctification. It's a process of becoming like Christ. The process of getting to know God. The process of yielding to Him. And there's no cheap, there's no instant fix for that. There's no facelift. You cannot get a spiritual facelift. You can get a natural facelift, but you cannot get a spiritual facelift. You cannot fabricate those moments that you have when just you and Jesus. Those moments we had tonight here, when it's just us and Jesus, and He's the center of attraction. You cannot fabricate that. You cannot. Whatever you try to do on the outside will be conforming. And that's why we have church competition. See whose worship is the best and who preaches the best. And then we're like, wow, why? Because we want to try and conform people from the outside. But you can't. You have to change from the inside out. Don't your neighbor and say, inside out. It's an inward changing. Okay. So we're almost done with the introduction. I mean, so first Peter 2. And this is the part we want to get. If you want to live a holy life, don't try to be like super spiritual. Because some people, when they come to church, they speak differently. Oh, the Lord in heaven is speaking to thy earth tonight. It's amazing. Some people get like English accents. Some people get like Nigerian accents. Some people don't want to check. No, they don't get. They always get Australian accents or British accents first. Okay. But it's amazing when people pray. Then it's almost like when we come into the presence of God, then what we do is we think like, oh, now I have to change everything about myself on the outside to try and impress God. And then the worst is, I don't know, sometimes I do it often, but probably just me. I'm the only sinner in the house. The rest of you are all holy and perfect. But it's amazing. I catch myself regularly where the Holy Spirit convicts me, and then the Holy Spirit says to me, you've just prayed for the whole 10 minutes and you've just been telling God exactly what he must do all the time. Oh Lord, have you noticed? Have you noticed that I am writing a test on Tuesday? And Lord, the whole world, if I don't pass this test, do you know what? The world out there is not going to serve you anymore if I don't pass this test. Because I'm the Savior. So Lord, can I remind you? Lord, you've not shown me who that husband is yet. Lord, that wife, she's walking, but she's so disobedient. Have you noticed? Lord, I pray that you'll rebuke him. He offended me. Lord, now that's extreme. But have you noticed some, and this is, I'm just trying to make a bit of fun of the charismatic. Lord, please be with me. Please be with me today. And the Lord looks down and he says, Michael. I'm all around her and she's not noticing that I am with her. Now listen to me, you can miss this. As if I must come from the outside to change her circumstances to make her feel like she's in a better relationship with me while I'm living inside of her. Let's just think about what I just said. Lord, come down. Holy Spirit, fall on us. Lord, when I go to church, manifest yourself there while I am the church. Because my relationship with Christ and my relationship with my friends and my small group around me defines church. So what I go and do on a Sunday night is I just celebrate church. Because when Carla and Louis here, Louis washes the dishes and she sits and enjoys herself. Is that a word for you, Louis? And they are married. Do you know what has just happened? God is right there. He's present. Why? Because their whole existence in their marriage means virtue, life. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. People will leave you. People will walk away. But God says, lo, I'll be with you even till the end of the age. So the biggest secret, and that's what Paul writes, he says, is the mystery. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He says, that's the mystery of the ages. Because every other religion is everything about what you do on the outside. Except true Christian religion. And there's dead works and dead Christian religion, and there's true alive religion. So don't say religion is bad, because Scripture says there's good religion, good Christian religion, to care for the widows and the orphans. But true Christian religion is a yielded heart to the glory of Christ that's already inside of them. It's a holy life of consecration. Listen to what Peter writes. He says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So it says, when you come to God, you need to realize that men will reject you, the world will reject you. If you really follow Christ, don't let the world love you. And you turn your back on Jesus. Because it says, when you come to Christ, when you come ready to bring your life for offering as a consecration to Him, what begins to happen? People are going to reject you. People are going to say nasty stuff about you. People are not always going to like you. Why? Because of the Christ inside of you. And that Christ inside of you will offend people. But you know, we don't go out to offend. But if you're really following a life of following Christ fully, people will get offended. He says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. I love that first part in verse 4, that second part in, from verse 4. It says there, chosen by God and precious. Once you've given your life to Christ, the most amazing thing is you become that stone that God invests in, lives in, and wants to manifest His glory through. And God says you're precious. Living, precious. You're not a dead stone. You're like a living stone, and you're being built up through this process of sanctification, this process of living a holy life. This process of saying no to the conformity of this world. But coming in a place of consecration and yieldedness to God and say, God, I am a living stone. We here tonight are the spiritual house of God. God works in you so that He can work through you. And that's why some people ask me sometimes, I say, yes, how do you work out a message? I say, I don't know. I've done all the theological, hermeneutics, homiletics, all that stuff. And it's very important that you know that stuff. But I only preach what Christ does in me. Why? Because I've realized that I must become the Word made flesh to other people. And that's exactly what you must become to your classmates and to your roommates and to people. You must show them what a holy God looks like. And it's not by outward things. It's not by tiptoe through the tulips, take some water. Holy. Holy. And then we say, oh, you need a bit more holiness. Don't hide. You know, and then we get, then we sort of get all the outward stuff because we think like, oh, look at these ladies. They're just smiling at you. Just sprinkle water. Shh. You're laughing too loud in church. It's a holy place. Okay? But it's amazing. Now God said to the Pharisees, He says, you change the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is filthy. You brood of vipers. You whitewashed walls. Jesus used some words there that I won't even mention to other people. So we don't go out and do that stuff, but God says, hey, do you want to have life? Start by consecrating yourself. And consecration just means that everything I do, everything, my relationships, my work, my studies, my family, my fears, everything I've learned to bring it to God. Because the outside does not determine who I am. It's what my response in the inside is to the things that happen on the outside that can bring Him glory. So then it's so easy for us in a real biblical context, if you suffer, that you can give God glory through the suffering. But the other gospel that says change on the outside, rules, regulations, all of that stuff, when suffering comes, people run away. Because they've not learned that God actually wants to transform something in you because you're part of this world. He doesn't bring sickness. God is not the author of sickness. He's not the author of death. But you will go, as a Christian, you will go through suffering. Why? Because we live in a wicked world. And how you and I respond to that suffering will either say, God, more transform in your image, more Christ-like. I want to manifest Jesus. And that person says bad stuff about you and you can say, I bless you. Although you're an enemy, I can bless you. Why? Because I have peace inside It's not what you say that will determine whether I have peace or not. I can bless you. Why? Because I come from a place I am seated with Christ. And so tonight there's some of us that say need to come to God and we're going to start this term in this way. We're going to take some time to worship God, but not through nice songs, through a yieldedness where you're going to say to God and I'm going to say to God, God, here I am, a living stone. Precious to you. See, you cannot come to Christ if you don't realize that he invites you and he says, come, you're precious to me. I bought you with a price. And maybe there's some of you that's always on the outside. You need to come close to Jesus so that he can save you tonight. He can set you free. He says, come, but come close. And then as you consecrate yourself, what you do is when you go tonight to your room, you close the door, take some oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the agent of that holiness. Say, God, this space is your space. If you're struggling with dreams, then every night you anoint that place and you say, God, this is your space. Your presence is the most amazing thing right here. Because I don't need to go out there to find your presence. Your presence is first in here. So that's what you do first. You take some oil and you just like. If your dog is there, anoint your dog. If your roommate is there, anoint your roommate as well. Okay, so you're not going to understand, but I love you. Okay? Okay, except if they really don't know God, then maybe they're going to think like you come from a freaky church. But you just say, this is the Bible. I'm living. I've got virtue. Jesus has set me free right here. And some of us, we've received, we've received healing from God, all of that stuff, but we've never received virtue from Jesus. Because we still try to live on the outside. And Jesus says, I've come to live inside of you. The mystery of the ages, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then once you've consecrated your room, then you start to say, God, this residence that I'm in or this block of flats, I'm going to start walking around it. This place that you've given me, Lord, or maybe my family, or maybe it's your nation, if you want to walk around it, start now. We'll see you in 2017. Okay, it's going to take some while. But you know, from this church, a couple of years ago, Pastor Andre, some of you know him, they cycled around the nation. Around about 15 cyclists, just students. I think it was 5,000 kilometers, 7 times. Students from this church for 7 years in a row. Not relay, everybody, I think on average 140 kilometers per day, 6 days, rest 1 day. And for 7 years, that's how our shofar started. Beautiful inheritance that God has given us of people that are pioneers. And these were not like major cyclists, these were just ordinary students that says, God, this nation belongs to you. And we understand biblical principles, so they just went to cycle right around. Next year, from 20th November till 20th of January, 2 months, just go right around. Say, God, we're building spiritual walls around this nation. Some of you must do that around your home. Some of them must do it around your workplace. We need to, as Christians, this is the days where we need to learn the principle of consecration. Don't be spooky. Don't show the whole world that you're running around with a bottle of oil and you bring like the big drums. I can know some of you now again. Jason? Okay. You are very passionate. But don't come like with the oil tankers now, okay? And then you spray the whole of Dagbreek with oil, okay? Do it at 3 a.m. when unsaved people are not going to understand and they're not going to know because they're going to think you're weird and you're freaky. You're doing it before God because you realize the principle. Are you with me? So we're not trying to be spooky because unspiritual people won't understand those things, but it's so scriptural. That's why God says, walk around Jericho. Consecrate your life. But it starts with a consecration in your heart. Where you take that books in front of you and you're writing a test on Tuesday and you say, God, before I'm going to start to study, I realize what I'm doing. It's a platform you've given me. I consecrate every minute to you. Every day to you. Father, I'm studying for you. I'm not studying for a degree. I'm studying because, God, what you're doing inside of me is so precious, and I want to thank you for that, even if it is hard and tough, because I realize Christ is formed inside of me. This is so exciting. That was a good place to say amen. Okay, will you stand with me as we're going to take some time to do that practically? Maybe you're saying tonight, well, yeah, you know, I've been living a lifestyle of trying to change on the outside, but I need a change on the inside. And that starts by being born again. That starts in that moment when you say yes to Jesus. That moment when you just surrender to Him. That moment when you say, God, I can only be holy because I've seen your holiness. Because you are different. You're different than any other God. You're different than any other being. You are high and lifted up. And salvation is just simply surrendering to the fact that you know a God that does not need to give account to anybody. Because He's the Creator. God does not need, He doesn't need to answer your questions. He's sovereign. He is holy. God has no beginning and no end. So do you know how arrogant it is to say, well, explain to me, how did God start? That's the most arrogant accusation you can throw, because obviously then you don't know God at all. Because God cannot be taken and fit into space. He's too big. He's too holy. He's too majestic. And yet that awesome God reveals Himself to you and me as a father, and He says, I'm going to show you a little bit more about who I am by actually degrading myself, by actually taking shame on myself, by actually coming as a human, sending my Son in the form of a human to be open to your rejection and to your sin and to my sin. So I am going to come down once and for all. This holy, magnificent God that needs nothing. You and I cannot add anything to Him. He says, I'm going to show you how committed I am to loving you. Because that's the heart of holiness. It's love. Real love. Sacrificial love. Not feeling love like the world wants to give you when you want to sleep around with your boyfriend and says, hey, that's, I really love you. He doesn't love you. He just wants to grab. He doesn't want to give. But that holy God came down in the form of a man and says, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to come into your space. I'm going to hang naked there where you were supposed to hang. That's going to be the great exchange, but only once. I will never do it again, because once will be sufficient for you, and then whoever chooses that life, that virtue, will find it only at the cross. Today we don't run around to get a miracle there. Today we're not going to run around. We get it right just in Christ when you stand in the cross and you say, God, what you did for me, I don't even understand. That's the greatest miracle of all, is when you yield your soul, your brokenness to Him, and you say, God, come and save me. Give me life. I surrender, Jesus. I don't know how you can choose somebody like me. How you can come, leave all your glory, all of your sovereignty, leave all of that which you have to come and show me that you're still committed, that you love. And that's why one day everybody in this world that has ever lived will have to give an account to their response of a God that left His glory to show the world that He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's not like any other God that's out there, up there, trying to just judge us. He became Emmanuel. And then He said, the greatest miracle of all is I'm going to start to live inside of you. And I'm going to release a peace over your life, not because of the sake of peace, because I am the Prince of Peace. I'm not going to deliver you for the sake of deliverance. You're going to just get delivered because I am the deliverer. And when I start to live in you, all the chains will break. And then it's not about the healings on the outside. It's about the healing on the inside that starts first and it starts to manifest. Church, it's time that we become a holy people. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Come to Him. Surrender to Him. And it's going to be painful sometimes. It's ugly when you see what happens in your heart and what's in my heart. It's ugly. But let Him be that refiner's fire. Because you can only be holy once you've heard Him say, I am holy. I am holy. I'm with you. I love you. I'm your God. I'm here. That Jesus is here tonight to set people free. But you know what? He can't just be another option in your life. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He's either Lord of all of your life or He's not Lord at all. There's no in between. There is absolutely no in between because God does not understand that. And so tonight we're not saying change on the outside because that's going to mean nothing to you. It's going to mean nothing to me when we just try to stop our porn addiction. When you try to stop your masturbation addiction. When you try to stop your series addiction. It doesn't change from the outside. It only changes once you've pushed through the crowds. You say, God, I don't want this shame anymore. God, I want virtue because I know where I am right now. I'm trading virtue for shame, for fear, for a lot of stuff in my life. I'm saying yes to that and I'm saying no to your virtue. But Jesus, I realize you're in this place tonight, so I have to press through. I want to scream out, unclean, unclean, but God says, who's touched me? Who's touched me? Go and be healed of your affliction. So if God is speaking to you tonight and you need to come to Jesus, make Him number one in your life. I want you to step out, serve from where you are. I don't care how long you've been in church. You can be a pastor. I was a pastor and for 6 months I didn't read my Bible. I didn't speak to God once because I did everything on the outside. So that if I preach better and if I just do stuff on the outside, it's going to change something on the inside. And God says, no, I want your heart. I want a circumcised heart. I was at the point of burnout. God is speaking to you tonight. I want you to come and stand here on my left-hand side. I want you to come. And maybe for the first time in your life, you're going to experience His holiness. But it's something that the Holy Spirit must do. It's not a fake trying. It's not a something. You need a transformation. Something needs to happen on the inside. And you've been asking Him for that. There's some of you that's been submitting to some patterns. So people coming to this side are people giving their lives to Christ. Just saying to Him tonight, God, I make a recommitment to you. There's some of you that you're always trying to change on the outside. I want you to come to this side. I want you to come and stand here and just come and sit, come and kneel before God tonight. Because you've been trying. You are so tired of trying on the outside, but you don't have a revelation knowledge. And maybe you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I want you to come to this side. And just say, God, holy. Not because it's weird. Not because you're condemnation prone. It's just simply holiness means God's invite to virtue. And that's why I can say to that adulterous woman, go and sin no more. I stop believing that it's impossible to sin. But how could Jesus say something to that woman that was caught in adultery if it wasn't possible? Go and sin no more, lady. My virtue I release. There's some of you, you've got so much pain, so much suffering. You think that you've got nothing to give to God, and God says, I'm inviting you tonight, sir. But as a son, as a daughter, I'm inviting you to a place of life. So if God is speaking to you, you need to come to Him for the first time. I want you to come. There's some of you that it's been going through a massive spiritual turmoil, a spiritual battle. The Lord says, you will only find peace inside of me. Come closer. And everything inside of you just wants to run away. God, if that's you tonight, I want you to come to the front. I want you to say, God, it's just, God, I'm running to you. It's just a prophetic statement you're doing. You're just saying, God, here I am. I can't change, and I'm not going to try and change on the outside. Take this heart. Take this hardened heart. Give me a heart of flesh. Give me a soft heart. I'm just waiting because I just sense there's a battle for some of you because you feel like, no. Do you know what? Those people, they're actually crazy going to the front and all of that stuff. This is not about coming to the front. This is about Jesus. This is about His call on your life. This is about His invitation. And some of you need to press through that crowd because there's a lot of people standing between you and Christ at the moment. And you need to press through. You just need to say to Him, God, I'm coming through. But I'm not coming with my shame. I'm not screaming unclean, unclean. I'm saying, Jesus, I'm coming. I'm going to touch the hem of your garment. Because you've been waiting for me to do that. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for a place of freedom. Thank you that you're raising up a holy nation, a special priesthood. Father, and we don't look to ourselves right now. It's not going to change anything when we try to change ourselves. It's only in a surrender to you. It's only in a surrender to you. It's only, Lord, in these moments when we just consecrate ourselves to you. And we just say, God, come and finish your work inside of us. Thank you that you are faithful even when we are unfaithful. Tonight, Lord, we don't come to a dead religion. We come to a living God. We don't come to embrace death. We come to embrace life and virtue. And tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll release your virtue in lives here, that only you can do, Jesus. There's some of us afraid to come to that place just because we're broken in our families. We're broken in our relationships. We're so full of rejection and so full of fear. But tonight, Lord, heal us. Heal us, Jesus. Virtue, Lord. We thank you for your virtue. Thank you, Father. No more fear. No more shame. No more condemnation. But virtue, Lord. No more being afraid to come close. No more, Lord, running away, Lord, and just hiding in those rooms where we must say, unclean, unclean, I'm not going to make it. But, Lord, a surrender. A surrender to your life. A surrender to your heart, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you that you do it in us, Lord. And then you do it through us, Father. I thank you for holy hands. I thank you for holy hands. Thank you for holiness, Lord. Thank you, Father. It's just in our surrender tonight. And we want to thank you for that, God. Thank you for a sound mind. Thank you, Lord, for peace. We release your peace, Father. We thank you for your heart. We thank you for your life. We thank you, Lord, for this place just with you, Father. No more condemnation. No more rejection. Jesus, thank you. I want you to talk to him. Just bring your heart to him. We're not going to pray fancy prayers tonight. You just pray your own heart. Say, God, maybe you're afraid. Just tell him. Say, Lord, I'm afraid. Father, we consecrate every person right here to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you right now, Lord. Lord, thank you. There's no second-class citizens, only children of God. And we want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you. I want some small group leaders just to take oil. We're not going to pray for people right now. We're going to just consecrate them. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to say, Holy Spirit, just come. We're going to just consecrate them. I'm going to just lead us in a prayer of repentance. That's where it starts, obviously, if we don't know Christ or if we come back. So everybody just be quiet, and I want you to pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I thank you that you are life and in you is no death. So here I am, a sinner in need of a savior. I cannot save myself. I've been trying, Lord, to change things on the outside when you want my heart. So tonight I surrender my heart to you. Thank you that you are holy. There is no God like you, not even remotely, a God that loves me so much. Tonight I accept your love. I am precious. I am your beloved. Make me a living stone, built up into a spiritual house. Take my life, take my heart, take all my shortcomings. Lord, come and live inside of me as I yield control to you. I surrender everything to you, Jesus. You are holy, Lord. Tonight, I'm amazed and attracted to your holiness. You are beautiful, Lord. You are amazing. That a God like you would love a sinner like me and call me your child. I receive everything that pertains to life and godliness. Thank you that I died with Christ. Thank you that I've risen with Christ. I'm no longer a slave to this world, no longer a slave to what happens outside, but I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, and I'm holy because he is holy. I'm different because I have his nature now. I refuse every lie. I refuse every condemnation. I refuse everything that will tell me that I'm not a son. I'm no longer a slave. Tonight, there's a new covenant. I want to thank you, Lord, for that new covenant. Some of you just need to talk to God right where you're sitting. Just talk to him. He wants to hear your voice. He doesn't want you to facilitate this. Don't pray now. Just anoint. Because some people just here must take a moment just to pray with, just talk with God. Just talk with him. Because there's something that there's sort of a blockage that's holding you back from speaking to God. You haven't spoken to him for a long time. Maybe you're sitting here at the back. Close your eyes just quickly. Just take a moment. Just speak to him. Just say, God, I consecrate my mouth. I consecrate my thoughts to you. And then we're going to just sing a song of consecration. And I want you tonight to take some time. We're going to be around you. There's some of you that need physical healing, but I don't want anybody to talk in here, okay? Nobody talks. Because God is going to set people free tonight. From the inside out. He needs to do a miracle in your life. And just tell him that. You're right in your heart. To circumcise your heart. Father, thank you. Thank you for this place we have before you. So please, I really want you to respect this. This is holy ground. Because what's happening here tonight, we cannot fabricate it. So Holy Spirit, just what you say, Holy Spirit, tonight I acknowledge and we acknowledge your existence as part of the Trinity of God. Holy Spirit, be my agent of consecration, sanctification, and holiness. Holy Spirit, as the body of Christ, we repent that we so many times ignore you, so many times quench you, and live outside of the foundation of God's love. Tonight, I give you free rein, free access to my life. I consecrate my mind to you. I consecrate my emotions to you. I consecrate my body to you. And I say, Holy Spirit, this is a temple for you to live in. come and abide in me as I abide in you. Take control. Speak to me through dreams and visions and the miraculous, and through the still small voice and through your word. I thank you for your truth. Lord, I thank you that I'm now consecrated, holy before you, based on the blood of Jesus.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.